Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome in to another episode of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by RotoBaller. This is episode 282. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how we doing, bud?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
No complaints. Couple days until Florida. Some live baseball, some sunshine. Looking forward to that. And we have a great guest. This has to be our last episode of the week. The schedule-wise, it doesn't look like we'll be able to get that third one in. Or maybe we will. Maybe we'll do a one from Florida, but... We have a great episode today. 80 grade guests. It's not only we have 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg, we have an 80 grade guest here. This is an OG in the prospect dynasty kind of space that we all love so much. He's from Baseball America. Everyone knows him. Everyone loves him. Mr. Jeff Ponce. Jeff, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Eric? What's going on, Chris? How are you guys? I'm excited to be here. And then I also will be seeing you guys very shortly in Florida. Just a couple of days. Can't wait to feel that shock of sunshine after these cold New England stick season weather.
The weather looks really good, too.
Oh, Chris, you can't talk. Stop it.
Hey, it was gross. It was 65 here today, but it rained all day. So,
yeah, it's gotten a little warmer up here the last several days. But, yeah, it's been... We'll have like 2 or 3 days where it's like, oh, mid 40s, and it's 20, wind chill of 10. It's brutal. I looked at the weather, it's gonna be like mid 70s every day. We're down there, so I'm very much forward to that. Yeah, it's coming. Another couple of days, I'll be down there, so thank God for that. We have a really fun episode today. We're doing our kind of little mock draft for 2024 redraft prospects. These guys that will think it will provide the most value this year. So not like dynasty long term, just who will provide the most value in 2024 redraft leagues. Before we get into all that, the usual housekeeping, you can follow all of us on Twitter. Jeff is at Jeff Ponce BA. That's PONTES. Chris is at Roto Clegg. I'm at Eric Cross 04. Shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review and check out all of our works. Baseball America obviously is the gold standard in our industry. Chris at the Dynasty Dugout, me at Toolshed Fantasy, and make sure to check out all the great stuff over at RotoBaller as well. Use that code Toolshed, get you 10% off any premium package. A lot of great stuff there. All right, Jeff, as our guest, we'll give you the first pick here. Where are you going? I think it's pretty, I don't know, is it cut and dry for you, number one?
So I guess I have a question, and that is, are foreign-born professionals available in this draft?
Yes, right. Absolutely.
So I don't think it is as cut and dry. I think there's a couple of potential options here. It's a hitter or it's a pitcher. It's also a decision that we're making in FYPDs at the moment. You know what? I'm gonna stick with my hitter here. I'm gonna take Wyatt Langford, my top bat off the board. I think he's in a great position in a great lineup, and has an opportunity to really hit the ground running. And I think maybe a top three round player next year pretty easily. I don't think that's any huge shock. I might even be in a little bit conservative, but I think between him and then if I can tip potential picks in the future, Yamamoto, I'm going to go with Langford just because of the bat. A little bit younger, obviously, of course. And Yamamoto, I think, will be pretty good this year. He's in a great setup. Obviously, the Dodgers, you can't knock that. But coming off of a six-man rotation, they have a pretty good depth of arm still, even with the injuries that they're dealing with. So I don't know how many innings Yamamoto ends up getting, but it was a difficult choice because I think you could go either way, or actually probably five or six different ways with this first pick, frankly.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, their AAA rotations would be better than, like, several major league rotations this year, especially like Oakland and stuff like that. But yeah, Langford, can't go wrong there. I love Langford. Obviously, the dude's a stud in the making, and looks like he's trending towards being an opening day roster at this point. Yep, can't go wrong with there. Chris, where are you going at two?
All right, I guess I'll take Yoshinobu Yamamoto as my first pick, second overall. Like I said, I think that these guys are 1A, 1B in FYPD and even for redraft purposes too, because I do think that obviously Yamamoto is going to spend most of the year or all the year in the majors. And I wouldn't be shocked if Langford also spends the entire year in the majors. And if he doesn't, I'd still think that he's going to come up in late April or May. So both guys are going to spend basically the entire year in the majors. I think you could be looking at like a potential like high-end SP2 in his first year here. I know you saw last year Kodai Senga. It took him a little time, but in the second half, Senga was absolutely incredible, and I believe that Yamamoto is a better arm than Senga is, so I think he'll hit the ground running. He's in a great spot in Los Angeles, having a great lineup behind him. I just think that it's the best spot he could be, so Yamamoto is my first pick at second overall.
Yeah, now I have a tough choice here. I'll go 3-4 here. We'll snake it. I have three players I'm really debating between. I'll go first one. This is one I feel most confident about for this year, at least. So I'll go Evan Carter at three. Like this here that he's bulked up a little bit. Obviously, it doesn't mean that more power is going to come, obviously, but it is nice to see because I skipped the one question like some people had, like where the power ends up. But obviously, he's had that ascension from who the heck is this guy, top 50 overall pick in the draft, to a guy that was an elite prospect in a very short time. Yeah, Texas absolutely nailed that one. And obviously had the great run in the postseason with Texas leading to the World Series. Yeah, I will go with him here. I think he could give you a 20-25 year this year. Solid average, good OBP, hitting in the middle of a loaded Texas lineup. So he'll get all the counting stats that you want. So I'm actually surprised his ADP is not higher than it is right now. Though we're not factoring in ADP to this, but I'm saying in general, I was surprised ADP wasn't like 30, 40 picks higher than it is now. But yeah, I like Carter a lot, and I already got a couple shares of him this year. So I'll go Carter here at three. Now I'm really struggling with who to go between these two. And even though I have more shares of this guy because the ADP is 40 picks later, I'll go Jackson Chirio here. Obviously going to be on the opening day roster after signing that contract extension last month. Maybe the average is a little low. He's aggressive. I struggled initially at every level, but then always got it going. So maybe the average is a little lower, but still like probably 250, 260, something like that. But power speed is absolutely there. Another guy that could go 20 plus this year. That Milwaukee lineup, I think, could be sneaky decent, not great, but I think he's obviously going to play a ton and has that power speed blend you look for. He's always been a huge impact guy everywhere he's gone. I'll take him here at four. Chris, back to you at five.
All right. Well, thank you for leaving me another Jackson Holiday will be my pick. The starting second baseman on opening day for the Baltimore Orioles. I'm just trying to will that into existence. Seems like a real possibility.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule it out at this point. The Orioles haven't ruled it out, especially. And I think that Holiday's just kind of hitter is going to hit the ground running. Solid contact skills, high OBP floor. He's going to get on base a ton, have chance to steal. Yeah, I think that the power is still developing, and the EVs were pretty solid last year for someone as young as he was, and frankly, his size. I'm not a huge guy by any means, but I do think that Holiday will hit for some power. He'll give you some stolen bases, and he's going to give you just counting stats across the board and a great lineup. So I'm happy to take Jackson Holliday. I think Jeff actually just took him today in our Towel Wars draft.
I did. Yeah, I did. I was actually between him and the guy that I'm going to choose right now, which is Junior Cameron Arrow. And I even considered, I think just based on the way the league was structured and the way the pitchers were flying off the board, I ended up going with a pitcher on that back end because I was picking 14 out of 15 teams. But I did take Holliday, and I was going to follow it up with Junior Cameron Arrow. Obviously, I love the pick with Chris. I think Holliday is going to be an impact guy this year. I do think he's going to be up day one. And I know that we've heard some rumblings, and the team has said that Cameron Arrow was going to go to the minor leagues immediately and was not going to break camp with the team. I don't know how much I believe that if he has a great camp.
Yep.
And I think one of the things we have to keep in mind is the prospect promotion incentive and what the value of that is and what the value of what a first round pick, just in terms of actual dollars, means surplus value to the Tampa Bay Rays. I just can't imagine that a player that's already debuted, been up with the team, part of the playoff roster, they lose an infielder and somebody they're not going to be able to replace. Cameron Arrow is someone that can slide in. I don't know if he's going to play shortstop. I don't know if he's going to play third base, if he's going to DH some days. I'm going to be really shocked if he's not up on this lineup at least the second week of April. Because he does qualify for the prospect promotion incentive, and the fact that he already does have some service time, they're more or less throwing away that pick if they think they're going to add an extra year, which I just don't know if they would do that. I don't know if adding that extra year of Cameron Arrow versus getting the pick and then maybe being able to negotiate a long-term extension, depending upon what happens with that Franco money, could be interesting. So I'm not totally buying into the whole Cameron Arrow is not going to break camp. I still think he is. We saw what he did in a major league game the other day. This guy has outlier 70 grade power. And to go with that, he has probably plus bat to ball skills, if not above average. That combination of 80 grade raw power and contact is just outlier. There's not many guys in the world that have that. And I don't think you're going to keep that guy out of the lineup. You're not going to have that guy hit balls in Durham for a month and a half to then call him up in May and miss out on a pick. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, it would be weird if they sent them down. And that home run he hit, this is such effortless power too. Like, just the ball just jumps off his bat to all fields. It's really fun to watch.
And look at the crop of players that the Mariners were able to draft with that extra bonus pool money at the end of the first round. This year in the first, they grabbed Colt Emerson, they grabbed Johnny Farmello, etc. They loaded up on a bunch of really talented players. And one of the reasons they could do that is because Julio Rodriguez broke camp and won AL Rookie of the Year.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. So that's number six. Who are you going at number seven here, Jeff?
So with number seven, I'm going to go back to the third base well here, which is actually strangely loaded for this rookie class, if you consider Colt Keith a third baseman. But I'm going with Noelvi Marte. Marte debuted last year. I thought the skills are there. The bat to ball skills have always been there. The approach is fine. It's actually really good. He can play third base fine. I know he was always a little bit too big for shortstop, and there were some clunkiness stuff with him with his motions. And I know that there were some swing mechanics things that, like, coming into 2023 that he adjusted. I just think the power's there, the contact. It's a great park. It's a crowded infield, and it's a crowded corner infield situation right now. But I do think that Marte ends up probably breaking camp and getting the majority of time there at third base. And he's got power. He's got contact skills. Maybe we'll run a little bit as well. But I think the big selling point here is that you could potentially get like 25 home runs in that park with good counting stats and a 280 batting average.
Yeah, I have Marte in so many leagues this year. He's my second most rostered player right now as we enter the last month or so of draft season. I've been scooping him all up. At one, ADP is like 170-ish. I'm scooping that up all day.
He's a great, and he's, if you're a gambler, he's a great potential futures bet too, I think, for rookie of the year, where you could get in for short money and the odds are pretty good because he's in an NL field that has some talented players that are obviously favorites over him. So I think he's a guy that has opportunity, and it's a great young team.
Oh yeah. Cincinnati is becoming one of my favorite teams to watch. There's all that young talent, obviously Ellie and McLean and Canusian Strand. It's a really fun team for sure. All right, Chris, over to you for eight.
All right. So between a couple of guys, but I'm going to take Colt Keith, knowing that he will be in the starting lineup come opening day, the second baseman for the Detroit Tigers. And in most formats, he's actually going to be like third and second, which I think is pretty huge because you get corner and middle infield. Like, yep, I just think that advantage is significant with Keith. He's disciplined hitter, good contact. He's got good pop. Hopefully the power plays in that park. That's my only concern, is just Komerica just doesn't play great for power. You know, they brought in the fences a little bit last year, but I think Colt Keith has the kind of power to transcend that. And yeah, we saw Spencer Torkelson eventually come around to it, hit 30 this year. So not saying Colt Keith's going to hit 30 by any means. I think Keith's just a really solid skill set, not a flashy player, and just gets the job done. And that eligibility is nice. And also we know he's going to be in the lineup on day one.
Yeah. Now this puts me in a tough spot because after Jeff took Caminero six, I'm sitting here thinking, I hope one of Marte or Keith goes to follow me at my next set of picks. And nope, no dice. I was actually debating Marte my last. Like, I love Marte so freaking much. I always, dating back to his, I had him top 10 back in 2019 in the Seattle days in the low minors. I've always loved Melvin Marte. So I think this is where it really opens up now. You can go a lot of different ways. I think that's a pretty chalk 1 through 8 in various orders. But I'm going to go, I guess I'll stick in Detroit and go with actually the guy that is my most rostered player so far this year in Parker Meadows, because I think Meadows going near pick 300 is just an absolute travesty. Yeah, the upside isn't as high as these names we've already talked about. Like, he's not going to be a stud, but this is a guy that's shown a pretty solid power speed blend through his minor league career. Over the last 2 years, his per 650 plate appearance pace was, I think, like 24 home runs, 22 steals, walks at a solid clip. The contact skills have always been a little bit below average, so I don't think he's more than like a 250, 260 hitter. But looks like he's going to lead off in front of Riley Green, Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter. It's a pretty good three behind him. So if he's there for most of the year, maybe you see 80 to 90 runs scored and flirting with 20-20 and an average that won't kill you. I think he's stinky good and a good draft day value too. So I'll go Meadows here at 9 and then 10. Even though he's not going to be up on opening day, I don't think he's down for long. So I'll go Jordan Lawler here. I think he's up pretty soon. And you saw, like, after a slow start last year from, like, I think it was late May through when he got promoted to Arizona in early September, he was on like a 8.48 pace or something like that. He had like 15 home runs and 25 steals over a 3-month stretch. And I think he's going to be one of those well-rounded offensive talents. Got to give you a nice power speed blend, hit it for a decent enough average, and it's really be like a 5-category impact player. And so I don't think they're going to keep him down for long. Maybe he's down for the first few weeks in the PCL, but I think he's up by the end of April or early May at the latest. And I think he's going to be a pretty sneaky good. I'm buying the dip in redraft leagues. Obviously, the ADP dipped a ton after it was like, all right, they brought over Eugenio Suarez, so where does Lawler fit in? And I've been buying that dip, so I will take. So I'll go Meadows at 9 and Lawler at 10.
All right. I guess I'm about to do it and take another foreign-born player in Shota Imanaga. I mean, already took one. Might as well take another arm. Imanaga is going to be obviously in the rotation in Chicago from day one. I am a little bit concerned about the home runs. He's a fly ball pitcher in the Windy City. And maybe I'm looking at that to a little too much, but there was some home run issues overseas. And while you would think about that rate not being so bad, like 1 home run per 9, typically when pitchers come over here to the majors, we see that rate tick up a little bit. So I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't slightly concerned, but at the same time, I still believe in the arsenal. I love the fastball there. I think that a couple tweaks and he's a really good arm. You're going to get innings from him. How many, we don't know, but he's going to be in the rotation on day one. So I'll go ahead and take Shota Imanaga.
That was going to be one of my next two picks.
Yeah, I was debating him as well. Yeah,
he was sitting there staring me in the face. But so for my next pick, I'm actually going to stick with the Cubs, and I'm going to take Michael Busch. Despite the fact that Cody Bellinger signed, I really think he's going to see a majority of his time in center field, unless the Cubs are that hung up on playing 33-year-old Mike Tauchman in center. If they are, go for it. Great. Good job, guys. But you know, I'm looking at first base being open. I'm looking at the fact that it looks that Christopher Morel is going to get a real shot to maybe be the opening day third baseman, which could open up the DH spot as well. So on days that they do rest Bellinger, I think they could even put him into DH, or if they would have him play some first base, whatever, Bush has an opportunity to slide into that DH spot. I think we all think he's a guy that in the right opportunity the last couple of years could have been a rookie of the year candidate. We saw what he did and just put up major league quality numbers in AAA last year. We've seen the approach improve over time. The strikeouts have come down as the bat to ball skills have taken a big jump. And he's always had great underlying power. He's not a super athlete or anything like that. I do think you could get Vinny Pasquantino's numbers out of Michael Bush this year, and it wouldn't be a huge shock.
Yeah, no, for sure. I was the day that trade went down, I was so happy. Because I'd have been like banging the drum, like free Michael Bush.
The
like,
t-shirts, we had them. We were just...
I know. I was about to go with flaming pitchfork outside of Dodger Stadium, like just trade this guy, play him or trade him, and thank God they traded him. And then when they signed Bellinger, I'm like, oh, no, here we... I was like, oh, God, here we go again. But no, yeah, I do think that he'll still play between first and third. He'll still play enough to play regularly.
So yeah, and Bellinger in that contract and the value early is very much tied to him playing center field and playing in the outfield. I think if anything, it hurt PCA, who's obviously a potential pick. But he is not my pick here. My next pick, I'm going to go with a foreign-born professional as well. Jung Ho Lee has been hanging around here, and I think that within this group, he easily could be just as productive as our last handful of picks.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, I think the Stephen Kwan comps are reasonable. I think there's even an opportunity, the park is a little worse, but there's an opportunity maybe for a little bit more slugging. I don't know if it's necessarily home run totals. Obviously a big ground ball guy, doesn't run a ton, but heavy contact guy, the approach is pretty good. You're going to get batting average. You're going to get that glue guy that allows you to go after maybe like a Brett Rooker or somebody later in the draft, because you have somebody like this on your team that can give you some of that baseline contact. Like I said, the Stephen Kwan's equivalent in, I think the price is actually a little bit lower than what Kwan is. I actually drafted Kwan today and not Lee. So there you go. But yeah, I'm not like over the world about Lee, but it's great opportunity. He's got a runway. He's going to be up day one. He's going to play every day, able to accumulate some numbers that I don't think are bad. And the Giants have sneaky had like good under the radar fantasy guys that you
can for sure
achieve the last few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's one of those high floor guys. I mean, bat the ball skills are obviously there. You know, the guy's going to put the ball in play. Maybe he's not flashy, but
like I said, he's at the top of the lineup. Maybe gets you 80, 90 runs. You're tickled.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially his, I think his ADP is like
163, I think is what I saw today.
I was thinking it was actually later than that, but yeah, that's a fine. Yeah, you know what you're getting with him at this point. I think people have been, and most everyone's had him, like, this is what he's going to give you. So
yeah, exactly.
You know what you got to get you. It's not sexy, but sexy doesn't always win fantasy championships. And you need guys like Lee on your team for sure.
Exactly.
So yeah, solid pick there. So now we're at what? Pick 14.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, I think this guy slipped too far, and that's Jason Dominguez, who I know he's going to miss a little time, but there's reports about him being ready to play in games by like April or May. No, maybe not in the majors, but getting some rehab games in there. Dominguez came up and lit the world on fire last year. It was a lot of fun. And I think that when he's ready to return, he's going to be back in New York's lineup, even though it's more crowded than it was. Like, this is a insanely good talent. I don't think they're just going to keep down in AAA for any reason, especially considering that they brought him up last year. So with Dominguez, I think you can get power, you can get speed. So I have drafted Dominguez in pretty much every league so far, especially in the draft and hold format, because he's going so late. And I just think he's a good value because I think he's going to return sooner than people expect. And especially in leagues, I got drafted him a day in talent because there's an injury reserve list. So I can put him on the IL and I can pick somebody up on FAB the first week. And in a draft and hold, I've taken him 30th round and just holding him. And then when he's ready to return, you think about him plus a replacement level guy. Like, that's a super good player. So weigh in on Jason Dominguez this year at his draft cost. And so I'll go ahead and take him here.
Yeah, you know, 100%. And it actually pains me how much I've started to like Jason Dominguez as a Red Sox fan, but he's going to do a lot of damage. The fact that I wasn't sure how much he was going to keep running when he started running a lot a couple years ago, and he just still is running. And the fact that left-handed pet, obviously switch hitter, but that power at Yankee Stadium, I think this is going to be potential 25-25 guy. So, yeah. I was wondering where he was going to go in this because I was like, all right, he's not going to be back. Maybe he's not back until June or at least May. So where's he going this? But if he was healthy opening day, he probably would have gone top, 3, 4, 5 here. He would have been top five pick probably.
Yeah, I think he injects himself into that top six group. That's pretty clear.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so here at 15, I'm going to go Mason Miller. I like the move, Mason Miller going to the bullpen. I think it wasn't like a big secret that this guy just can't handle a 30-plus start workload over a full season. But no doubting that the stuff is there. Obviously, the big fastball that touches triple digits, averaged about 98.5 last year. Slider was one of the better sliders in baseball last year, high whiff rate offering. And just those two alone, also, also has a cutter and occasional changeup. Maybe he scraps the changeup, and then he's a reliever. We'll see. But not really a lot of competition there for the job. And yeah, it's Oakland. But hey, Oakland, if they're winning games, they're not going to be blowing teams out more most of the time. So I think he's a great RP2 this year. If you get an RP1 that you feel good about, like if you get like a Yoan Duran, a Duvall, or even one of the studs, or like a David Bednar, like a safer RP1, you want to go a little upside with your RP2. I think he could return RP1 value at the end of the season. As long as he can stay healthy, obviously, that's the big thing with Mason Miller. But arm talent is there. So I think moving him to the bullpen was definitely the right move for his value. So I'll go him here. And then looking at a few guys here, I'll go Kyle Manzardo here. The report recently that he's probably not on opening day roster, but I think he's up still very soon. And I'm still as high on Manzardo as I was this time last year. And obviously there's a lot going on off the field for him last year. The skills are still there to be an impact major league bat that can hit for average, that can hit for power. And he's a bat that Cleveland really needs, so I was surprised that they weren't going to put him on the opening roster. But who knows? Maybe he has a big spring. What Jeff was saying about Cameron Arrow, maybe he hits the cover off the ball this spring, kind of forces their hand. I definitely could be in play here. So I think I still think he's going to get over 500 plate appearances this year, hit you 270 average, maybe even higher, give you maybe 25 home runs initially, and maybe a 30-homer bat long-term. I'm still drafting him. I'm buying the dip here. If the ADP is going to drop down here after that news for March drafts, I'll buy that dip. I still think he's up soon. I'll go Mason Miller and Kyle Manzardo here at 15 and 16, and then back over to Chris at 17.
All right, so I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to take Jackson Merrill. I really think that Jackson Merrill makes the opening day lineup in San Diego. They don't have anybody in the outfield. He's been getting work in left field. He's DH some. I feel like there's just pressure in San Diego. There's pressure on Preller to win, and we've seen them be aggressive in the past with prospects. They've pushed guys up that haven't been above double A and put them on the opening day roster. And I don't think this one would shock me if Jackson Merrill is in that opening day lineup. I think he's a better option than most of these guys that they have currently slated to play in the outfield. I know they just signed Jurickson Profar, but is Profar really anything at this point? Not sure, but Merrill, he's a pure hitter. He's shown it this spring, just the way he goes about the things, the bat to ball, he hits the ball hard. Just get a little more lift in the swing, get a little more, some higher launch angles. And I think we're cooking with something here with Jackson Merrill, but he feels like a pretty safe profile. And while it may not be safe that he makes the team out of camp, I do think, regardless, he gets plenty of time in the majors this year. So go ahead and take Jackson Merrill here.
So wait, so you're telling me you don't feel confident in Jose Azucar and Kyle Mitchell?
Yeah, and Matthew Batten at third.
Yeah, what are you talking about? No, yeah, I love that they've been starting him like every day. A couple on left, DH. Yeah, I think he's up. My mindset like about a month ago was like, he's probably around the All-Star break. But now I'm like, all right, this guy's going to be up much sooner than that, and maybe even opening day. And even a lot of people that I've talked to that are like more San Diego people are like, yeah, it's pushing that way. So we'll see. But yeah, I've been very – I'm coming around on Merrill. I thought he's going to be a stud, but I think he's going to be like a very good hitter for a very long time. And that could start this year. So yeah, good pick there with Merrill. All right, back over to you, Jeff, for two.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with shortstops here. I'm going to go with Mason Winn. Winn should be the opening day shortstop pretty clearly there in St. Louis. I think a big part of their future. Though I know the actual slash line for Winn wasn't great in his small major league sample size. Last year, we hit 172, 230, 238, which obviously that's not great. But you look under the hood, and this kind of reminds me, I don't think he's the same kind of level of hitter or impact as Kyle Tucker, but it reminds me of Kyle Tucker for the year where slash line was really bad when he first came up before he was like a full rookie. And the underlying data was really good. And with Winn at 26.5% O swing, that's his first time in the majors, 86.3% zone contact, 81.7% contact, 7.9% swing strike rate. We know that he's a very good defender with maybe the best arm ever in an infield. And I think that there's more sneaky power there than people realize. I think he's going to continue to get bigger and stronger. We know that this guy is rotationally explosive. He's going to be 22 years old a couple days before opening day. And we've seen him grow as a hitter each season that he's been a professional. And just in terms of, this was a guy that struck out 25, 26% of the time in his first sample in pro ball. And last year in AAA, it was 16.7% over 100 something games. So I think that people are underrating how good Winn can be. And I'll even throw a prediction out there. I wouldn't be shocked if Mason Winn is their leadoff hitter by June 1st.
Yeah, interesting. I can see that they don't really have that prototypical leadoff hitter.
No, it's like the options are like Donovan, Lars Nootbaar, who they might need to hit more like three or four, Gorman. I don't think there's a lot of those guys. And right. Winn has good approach. He's very speedy. I think he's a guy that could steal 40 bases next year. I don't think that's going out on a limb here in terms of what he can do when he's getting the green light and running. So yeah, 40 is probably a little bit too high, but I think 25 to 30 is probably pretty reasonable. And he's going to get opportunities. And I think we haven't scratched the surface of what he can be as an offensive player. 3-4 years ago, this guy was still pitching and dealing with some arm injuries, et cetera, which is one of the reasons that he went to full-time hitting and really revamped his swing. And I'm just a Mason Winn believer. So I think the opportunity's there, and I think he can be productive. This next one, I have a little bit of a safer pick or a little bit more of a risky pick. I'm trying to hit homers here, coach. So I'm going to go with Kobe Mayo. There's no opportunity for Mayo on the opening day roster right now. I think there could be some trades that are made, potentially some injuries. This guy had a really productive showing in 2023, and a good chunk of that, I think over 60 games, was in AAA. We know that he has the power. We know he has the contact. He has the approach. He's a pretty good athlete. He's strong enough at third, I think, to stick there for at least a few years. At worst, if Westberg ends up there and Mountcastle ends up getting traded in a package or something, he could easily end up at first base, and I think it'd be a really productive hitter at first, of course. This is just a really good hitter, and I think as we've seen, lineups are getting younger and younger. Good prospects don't get held down that long, especially guys that have upper minors experience the way Mayo does. So I just think we're going to see him at some point, probably in the early summer, if not before that. It's just a matter of, do they make another trade for another pitcher now that they know Bradish is on the shelf for at least a little bit of time? They could move some of these guys out. Some of them could be major league assets too. They have controllable major league assets that are very desirable to other teams that are maybe spare parts to them a little bit. It's interesting. It's interesting to see how it will shake out. But I do think if Mayo has the opportunity, this is a guy that could pop 30. This is real power. There's bat to ball. If you're in an OBP league, you're not taking a hit there. I think Mayo's the real deal.
Oh, yeah. I think the bat's ready. It's just finding him a spot. And I was talking about Mayo the other day. I forget if it was Twitter, Discord, whatever. But someone's like, oh, what about the deeper dimensions in left field? I'm like, yeah, that doesn't matter for a guy like Mayo. Mayo's got the big boy power. Like, it's not, oh, he's slightly above average raw. No, this guy is double plus raw power. He's big boy power, as I like to call it. So, yeah, this guy's going to hit 30 easy. I love Kobe Mayo. I love so many AL East prospects. It kills me. I know these guys are all going to do damage against my Red Sox over the next, you know, decade or so, especially in Baltimore, obviously. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, if they spend, oh my God, they're going to be a force. And now they sell the team, go get Corbin Burns. Yeah, obviously, the Bradish injury sucks for them. But yeah, a lot of fun players. Yeah, Mayo is a good one for sure. All right, Chris, who you got at 20?
Oh, I'm torn on this one. There is several ways that I'd like to go. I think I'm going to go risky, and I'm going to go with Paul Skeens, who I have no clue when he's going to be in the Pittsburgh rotation. But one thing I do know is Pittsburgh's rotation is horrific past Mitch Keller. So there's plenty of opportunity. And I know there's other guys that have pitched in AAA. I know Jared Jones is there and ready, but there's room for Jared Jones and Paul Skeens. I was a little shocked, honestly, that the Pirates actually threw Paul Skeens in the minors last year just because he was such a workhorse at LSU. He threw nearly 130 innings. And was going like 100 plus and even 120 pitches, some starts, which is absurd. But LSU ran him to the ground. Pittsburgh bumped him all the way to double A. I'm not ruling out that he breaks camp with a team. I'm also not ruling out that he starts in double A. I have zero clue. But I do think that we see Paul Skeens get innings in the majors this year and hopefully a decent amount. And we know the stuff's good. Yeah, we can talk about the dead zone fastball. I don't really care because the location, the velo is so good. Like, the secondaries are really good. He didn't use his changeup all that often in college, but it's grades out very well. Nasty slider. So I really like Skeen's chances to throw a lot of innings this year and maybe give you 80 to 100 in the majors. I think they'd be pretty good innings at that.
Yeah. Now, when he's up, yeah, that's my question too. Like, I was like, I've got it in the mindset that he doesn't break the 50 inning mark this year, but I don't know. He could be up in May for all I know. I can't get a good read on when they're going to bring up Skeens, but obviously he's going to be really good whenever he is up. So yeah, if you're someone out there that thinks he's going to be up earlier rather than later this year, he's a fine draft target for sure. I'm going to go. I'm torn between a few here as well. I'll go to the Boston Red Sox. I'll get a little Sedan Rafaela here. I think he's going to be maybe open. If he has a good spring, I won't rule it out. Obviously, they have Jaron Duran, Willy Abreu's in the mix. Obviously, Tyler O'Neill is going to get his. So I don't know how this works out. But Rafaela, I've always been a fan of Rafaela. I saw him a ton here in AA. And yeah, he's aggressive. He chases out of the zone more than you'd like to see. But context goes up and solid, doesn't strike out that much. I think the K rate's a little under 20% for his career. Obviously, a really good athlete. He can play. Obviously, he's been playing outfield. He can play a little middle infield as well. Plus or better runner. And he's got that sneaky pull side pop, which I think his profile fits well in Fenway. He's going to put a lot of balls off the monster. I think over a full year, could be a guy that's 15, 16 home runs, something like that. So if he's going to get up early this year and give you 500 plus plate appearances, yeah, I think you're going to like what you get. I think he could go double digit home runs this year, 20 plus steals, and a decent enough average. So I like Rafaela here. He's just a fun player to watch too. I love watching Rafaela. This next one, I was hoping one of you would take this guy because in general, I've been a little lower than most on this guy, but at this point, I think he's a solid value in here. So I'll go Kyle Harrison.
I was hoping you called me. I almost took him last pick, actually, when I went Mayo. That was the one I said was a little safer. So that tells you what is that in terms of safety.
Harrison, obviously, the talent's there. I've always had some concerns about, will the command and control be there enough to be like that top of the rotation type of guy? I still have those questions. Yeah, he looked pretty good the other day in a spring debut. But with him, you're going to get the strikeouts. Like, we know that the guy has always been a high strikeout rate guy, probably be a 27, 28, 29% K rate guy. And he's got to pitch a ton this year. There's not a ton outside of Logan Webb. That rotation in San Fran has got a lot more question marks than answers. So he'll get plenty of time this year. Obviously, came up for 7 starts last year. start to start, he was up and down, but overall had over a K per inning and actually only walked 7.5% of the batters, which was encouraging. Small sample size. So I want to see that over a longer period. The stuff is there. Bat missing stuff is there. The slurve misses bats. It didn't really miss bats a ton last year, but it has in the past. And changeup can be decent as well. And the fastball actually had really good metrics last year, too. So don't like how many, you know, fly balls, line drives he gives up. So there's still some question marks here. But I think at this point, you'll get decent enough ratios. Like, I keep thinking like a Robbie Ray type of pitcher with Kyle Harrison. Maybe frustrating to roster over a full season. But end of the year, you'll be like, all right, the numbers were good enough. So I'll go Rafaela and Harrison here at 21 and 22. Back to Clegg at 23.
All right. So I'm going to take Joey Ortiz now out of Baltimore in Milwaukee in a situation where he should play every day. The situation is interesting right now because they have a lot of infielders, and Ortiz is actually a really good shortstop. He plays great at short, and I don't think he currently is going to play shortstop because they have Willy Adames. Do I think Willy Adames is traded? Possibly, but we'll see how that all shakes out. Right now, it seems like Ortiz is penciled in at third, but I do think that he could also play second. So he may be a guy that gets you multi-position eligibility. Ortiz made significant gains last year in his exit velocities. Really good stuff. Watched him hit a bomb off of Max Fried in a rehab start last year, which was a lot of fun. But most impressive, in my opinion, is just how good the exit velocity. Like, the ninth percentile was like in the range of Heston Kerstad. Like, Kerstad, we talk about power. Ortiz obviously doesn't get as much lift. He's hitting the ball on the ground a little bit too much. But I do think there's 15 home run pop with some room for more. He can steal you some bags. He's a high contact hitter. I like Ortiz's chances to be a solid contributor in Milwaukee this year. And I think he's a really good value. I know his ADP has flown up a ton since the trade, obviously. But I still think he's a pretty good value where he's going.
Yeah, for sure. He's another guy like Michael Busch. That trade out of Baltimore for him does him a lot of good. It maybe hurt some other guys I was looking at here, like Tyler Black, for instance. But yeah, Joey Ortiz is very underrated. And I was very much guilty of that as well in my own rankings. So yeah, I like Ortiz a good amount here too.
I'm going to take some shots here once again. First of my two picks, I'm going to take Colson Montgomery. I believe in the bat. Another guy with outlier power, contact combination, really good swing decisions. I think he's still growing into more power, especially as he heals up from some injuries that he dealt with last year. He's a sneaky athlete, I think will be a solid defender at shortstop. The White Sox opening day shortstop right now on roster resource is Paul DeJong. So I think this is a clear upgrade offensively from Paul DeJong.
Slightly.
And I don't think it will be that much of a step back defensively, though. I know DeJong has had his years where he's been pretty solid there in the field. So I really like Colson Montgomery up there with some of the best hitters in this class. It's just a matter of will he have the opportunity or not. He's a guy who I think if we do this in 3 weeks and there's rumors that he is going to potentially break camp with the team, I think that he could go a heck of a lot higher just because of the type of skill set is there. Obviously, some stuff that's working against him. He's not in the 40-man roster. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's a 40-man roster guy, Rule 5 eligible this December. So moving him on to the 40-man roster wouldn't be a huge issue. He also got some time in AFL last year, which is usually a good sign that he's in potentially the plans for the team's next season. So going with Colson Montgomery there, we're getting into these weeds now where we're looking at guys we're like, we're not so sure about opportunity. Well, I got another one there in Thomas Sejesi. I just really love bat. It's not crazy power. It's not even crazy contact or approach. Where Sejesi excels is batted ball angles. So the king of sweet spot. He just really gets the most out of all of his contact and just has the ability to spray the ball to all fields. When they use sort of the term professional hitter, I think it applies, that cliche applies to a guy like Sejesi. So maybe it won't be a crazy impact kind of guy, but I could see him peak seasons and being like 280-25. And there's some injuries to some of the middle infielders this year in St. Louis, and he gets 400 plus at bats. I think 15 to 16 homers and a decent batting average probably isn't out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, he's always been like the sum of the parts type of guy for me. Doesn't really stand out anywhere. Just does a lot of stuff well across the board. Yeah, I like Sejesi a lot there. All right, Chris, who you got at 25?
Oh, me. I want to take a upside shot at Chase DeLauder, who did hit a home run today.
Hey, you are on a podcast with maybe the two biggest Chase the Letter people in the industry, and you're gonna do us dirty like that.
We've made it to the ninth round. He's still sitting out here. So
I know.
That would be on you guys. So DeLauder, obviously, some in the AFL, you know, looked really good. I think that there's plenty of opportunity in this Cleveland outfield for him to come up and play. Maybe he doesn't break camp with the team. And I would say the chances of that aren't very high right now, but he could play his way into it. I would not be shocked at all if he did. So regardless, I don't think it's too long before we see DeLauder. They're starting Miles Straw in the outfield still. Ramon Laureano's in right field. There's not many people in DeLauder's way. And it seems like when DeLauder's ready, he's going to be up, or at least when Cleveland deems him ready, because I do think he's ready right now. Great. And they have a handful of outfielders at the upper levels, but clearly Chase DeLauder is the best of them. And I think he should be with a team on opening day, but that's just me.
Yeah, I was trying to get too cute and let him fall, but did not work out. But so I got my last two picks here, and I'm going to go. I know which I'm going with here at 20, I don't know, 20, was this 27? I'll go Victor Scott. I think he starts at AAA this year. He got up to AA for about 2 months or so, second half of last year. And obviously this guy is just a potential league-winning categorical guy with the steals right off the bat. Like, he gives you 250 plate appearances. He could easily steal 30 to 40 bags. Like, obviously, coming off 94 steals in the minors. I think he had 18 more out in the AFL. So we're talking like 110-plus steals to combined last season with a high efficiency as well. And the bat's good. Like, I keep saying, and now Chris, you said it too, he's basically Esteury Ruiz with a better bat. I think this could be a 12 to 15 homer guy. He had 270 plus. Every at bat I saw from him out in Arizona was really good. He was hitting the ball hard all over the field. He's already had a couple EVs are like 105 so far this spring. Don't know, you know, how he's going to fit in and when he's going to fit in, but I'm starting to think he's going to be up before the All-Star break. And if that is the case, yeah, he's going to be just give you a ton of speed there and really almost win you a category. So I'll go him here. And then I'm between three for my last pick here. I'm still, you know, obviously the Bellinger signing moved him down, as Jeff mentioned earlier in the show, but I'm surprised PCA is still here. I'm debating him. I'm also going maybe one of these high upside, but super risky arms. I'll go that way. I got two of them, but I'll go Shane Baz. I don't know when the heck he's going to pitch. I thought it'd be earlier this year, and then they're like, oh, maybe it's not till June. Still easing him back into it. But obviously, the arm talent with Shane Baz is phenomenal. He's a guy that I had a chance to interview him back in the beginning of the pandemic before his breakout 2021. And he was saying, you know, I'm working on throwing strikes and repetition and really just commanding my pitches better. And he did that in spades. He had one of the best minor league seasons from a pitcher we've seen over the last half decade in that 2021 year. I think his K minus walk rate was like 36% or something ridiculous. It was right up there with G-Rod and Spencer Strider that year. And I think this guy, that he has fantasy ace upside. Will he ever get there because of his durability issues? We shall see. But another guy like Jason, it could just be a huge impact guy once he is back, even if that is in June. So I'll run to that with Shane Baz here. Chris, who's your last pick?
Oh, man. A lot of options. Last pick. Throw darts. But I'm not sure I'm going to do that. And maybe it seems like a dart, but I'm going to take AJ Smith-Shawver. Just look at the Braves rotation and people say, oh, it's so safe and locked in. But I don't believe that personally. Sale hasn't stayed healthy. Freed hasn't stayed healthy. Charlie Morton's 40 years old. Bryce Elder was terrible in the second half. I don't think the rotation's as safe and secure as people think. We saw the aggressiveness that Atlanta had with AJ Smith-Shawver last year. He went from high A to the majors in 2 months. I know the results were a mixed bag, but the arsenal's really good. I believe in the stuff. He's put in a ton of work this offseason. Speaking with him and his dad, who I just happened to connect with over the years, I just really think that AJ Smith-Shawver is being a bit undervalued, especially in the redraft format. He's going so late, and I don't get it. I think that the innings are going to be there in Atlanta, whether people like it or not. I just don't think that rotation is as steady as people think. So Smith-Shawver is going to get his chance, and I think he's going to take the most of it.
Yeah, the word safe has never been used in the same sentence as the name Chris Sale. That's just never happened ever in the history of ever.
Used to be.
Not that long ago.
Way back when he was, before he was cutting up jerseys and all that. But
no, even post Kyle, he was good through 2019.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. He was mid 2018 where he got hurt and then couldn't really.
Yeah, it's been downhill since then. But yeah, he helped us win a World Series. I'll always be thankful to him for that. Yeah. And I think I have, I'm trying to find like my most rostered players in NFBC because I know Aegis Machaber is very high. I think I have him like, in 50%. Most of those have been, you know, DCs and whatnot. So, yeah, the value, like you said, Chris, is so good with him. Waldrop, too. I think they're both going to pitch a lot this season for Atlanta. So, yeah, I haven't scooped up a lot of Smith-Shawver. But, all right, Mr. Irrelevant, Jeff, who you got?
All right. He didn't get to be the first pick in the draft last year. He was the second pick. So I'm going to take Dylan Cruz. Cruz had a nice showing today in center field, had ripped a double as well off the wall. I don't know. I think there's a chance with the Nationals that they try and fast track this guy up to the major leagues. I think the approach is there. I don't think he's as far away from Wyatt Langford as people now think he is. I also think that he could potentially run a little bit more in the major leagues when he's not the number three hitter for LSU any longer and has very different responsibilities. So I think this is a guy that immediately, once he does come up and get the opportunities, the OBP is going to be there. He's going to hit for a decent average. There's definitely a ton of power. And I just think the counting stats and everything else will work. So it's a long shot. I also don't think it's unreasonable to think that Cruz could potentially be up this year.
Yeah, I had him in the back of my mind for the last couple of picks there. So if he's up first half of the year, absolutely, he's a guy that should be taken here. Yeah, and I was, you know, Washington has promoted aggressively before. So if they're going to do it, Cruz absolutely is a guy that you could do it with how advanced he is for sure. But yeah, that's going to wrap us up. 30 picks. We could have gone 30 more. We flew through this. It was great. Before we get out of here, though, Jeff, what's going on over at Baseball America right now?
Yeah, just a ton of rankings up on the site. We have all the top 30s. We have 31 to 40s. Of course, the top 100 was updated back in January. Got all the Dynasty content we're doing, the Dynasty 700, positional rankings, FYP rankings. We have a Robo Scout top 100 and a regular fantasy top 100. And then just released our first redraft rankings as well today, which is designed really for 15-team NFBC leagues, but I think that's the standard now that most redraft rankings go off of. So it was fun. I hadn't done those in a while. So being able to pick that back up and do some prep and continue to build out all the different offerings that we have. Of course, we have a ton of college and draft content right now because we have an entire college team. So if you want to get up to speed on some of the players that are going to be entering the draft next year or the following year, or just following different exciting college baseball that's going on with meaningful games right now. That means something, right? So you can follow that on our site as well. And we're just going to continue to build stuff out and, you know, podcasts, all that sort of stuff. So big shout out to all the Baseball America subscribers out there.
Yeah. I have been one for a long time now and never will not be one. Obviously, they said Baseball America has been the gold standard. Love, obviously. And now you guys have obviously been really ramping up the fantasy content, which has been awesome to see, obviously bringing on Dylan White. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun to see the fantasy content grow over on BA over the last year or two, whatever it's been. So obviously go check out Baseball America, Jeff Ponce at Jeff Ponce BA on Twitter. Obviously check out the dynastydugout.com, all Chris's stuff, toolshedfantasy.com, all my stuff, Rotoballer, a lot of great stuff. But that will wrap us up. Thanks to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with you again soon. But until then, everyone take care.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.